John Norsterkenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketer! Border Turkle, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Bronziak, Bronziak, Bronziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. Wow.
Hey.
Thrown off here. This episode is being recorded Monday, October 17th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about the start of the real season.
Actual hockey.
Actual hockey. And we the resurgence of Finns or something like that.
Yeah. Finnish Wild Mafia's coming back.
Yeah. In the studio with me is Kenny.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, and Jive.
Hey, hey.
So, we finally have some hockey going on, and
there's hockey being played.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's 70 degrees outside, so.
Wasn't it a gorgeous weekend?
Yeah.
Did you guys do anything outside?
I went for a bike ride.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jive?
We did a little hiking outside with the scouts.
Gorgeous weekend. Yeah. You know, I got to say, I'm going to hand it to Meritage in St. Paul, right by the XL where the Wild play, because they do an Oyster Fest. This is their sixth one, and it's always in October. This one happened to get pushed back a week because of other stuff happening in the cities.
Fresh oysters?
Yeah. Well, fresh shipped in from the East Coast, West Coast, and Gulf Coast.
Oh.
They got...
All coasts are covered.
All coasts are
except
covered.
Except for the Arctic coast.
Well,
is there a coast
what
up there?
About the Superior coast?
I don't think we have oysters in Superior.
Yeah, mussels.
We got mussels. Although they didn't have any Rocky Mountain oysters.
I guess it wasn't Mussel Fest, though.
Everybody's out there in their mussel shirts. That'd be sweet.
But every weekend they've done this in October, and I mean, that's pressing luck when you're going to do an outdoor thing in October in Minnesota.
It's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot.
And they've had gorgeous weather every time so far, all 6 years they've done it. And I've worked this 3 years now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was great. This morning was really weird as how muggy it was, because you this time of year, you don't expect it to be muggy.
Yeah, the humidity, you definitely
I think that
don't
rain
my beard was just like...
I think the rain last night might have helped out with that a little bit.
Yeah, I know. It's
this morning.
Yeah, well, it was muggy before it started raining even. I mean, it was pretty insane. So let's talk some hockey rather than weather here, I think.
Sounds good. Let's get
Wrong
into
podcast.
It.
So the Wild, their first two games, they went 1-1. They lost the season opener against St. Louis in St. Louis, but they came back and beat Winnipeg for their home opener.
As the Wilder want to do.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about the St. Louis game first. They lose to the Blues on the road, 3-2. Suter and Coyle each got goals that game.
Well, actually, it was Zoyle that got the goal, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah. It was Zoyle. was that NBC or was that?
No, that was Fox.
Was it Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Greenland that called them Zoyle.
So
it was Zucker to Coyle goal,
and it was Zoyle. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, it was the first game where we actually got to see our lines, our team, what is probably going to be our team,
right,
or at least the majority of it, under a new coach, under a new system. You know, there was definitely some gelling issues that weren't happening with this,
no doubt.
They were flat.
they totally were.
They were flat, but I think you could also maybe say they were still trying to come back under the old system, mixing it in with the new system and things.
They looked
out of place.
That's what the preseason's for. They've had plenty of practices.
Yeah, but the preseason you're also sorting out who's going to make the team and who's not.
During practice every day though. They're getting ready. You know, you come to the first game to play. You don't come there, you know, unprepared and not knowing what your job is. So,
well, this is true, but you know, your job's your job, but you get a new management in who likes to run things differently. And if you're used to one way of doing stuff and all of a sudden new management goes, no, we're going to change this because I don't like how they were doing it. You know, it's going to take an adjustment period.
It's going to take some things, but still in the end, it's the game of hockey. And I mean, you got to get the puck from one end of the ice to the other end, and you got to put the puck in the net.
The basic principles are there, yes.
Yes, it is.
You work for FedEx. The package has to go from the warehouse to somebody's house. I mean, the end game is the same, but
that's right.
Your new manager could say, hey, I want you to run a different route.
Back in my FedEx days, that happened to me on a regular occasion.
And how often did you screw that up?
Actually, not very often.
But it happened.
Happens to the best of us. You know, see?
Yeah. And these guys are the best of the best, apparently.
Errors happen even if you're the best of the best, though.
Absolutely.
You know, and I don't think it was... It's easy to dismiss this game as just an utter failure because they lost. Because, you know, you lose, and it's not a good feeling, you know?
St. Louis is a pretty solid team this year.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the usual suspects scoring against us. You know, Steen scores a goal.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. I don't know what his percentage of career goals are, but I'm guessing a large percentage are against the Wild. Because it's crazy how that works out with him in particular.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the night before, St. Louis undressed Chicago way more than what they did to us.
True. And that's part of the added, I don't want to say issue, but concern is that St. Louis is the one coming off of back-to-backs, and the Wild looked like the ones that were coming off of back-to-backs.
Right.
Well, that and why would the NHL schedule a back-to-back for a team's first two games? Nah. That's unbelievably, in my opinion, that's unfair to St. Louis.
Well, absolutely. Obviously, it didn't really hurt them too bad.
Well.
they won both.
Well, but that's the other piece of this is, you know, St. Louis, they were coming off of they're already opened up their season. They've gotten those, beginning of the season jitters out already.
They got some bugs worked out.
Yeah,
they've
gotten tuned up already, and they came in and made us look stupid in the first couple periods. The Wild did end up, you know, coming back and showing, you know, a little bit of oomph in the third period, but too little, too late, right?
Right, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, so. New system, new management.
Right.
How long is it going to take the Wild to feed into Boudreaux's system and they can actually start clicking like how he wants them so we can see Boudreaux's team and not this mix-up of Boudreaux and Yo?
Well, and that's always the hard part. I don't remember if it was, I think it was Russo was on KFan who was talking about how, you know, teams will, they'll drop back and play the system they know if they get panicked because you know they've now played at most you know I don't think anyone played you know Zucker played like five games so at most anyone's played is seven games under Boudreaux's system so you're asking a lot of some of these guys just to discard the systems of the past.
But how much different is his system? I mean,
it might be large. I mean, we don't know that, you know.
The end of the day, you're sending in a couple of forecheckers. You know, one guy goes on the boards, one guy gets in front of the net, other guy hangs back high. Let's do this.
I will say though, I've noticed a lot less dumping.
Yeah,
they're trying to carry it in. I realize that you can't. It's not a single. You can't just say we're not doing dump and chase. It's not that you can't do that.
No,
because otherwise, you know what people do? They'll just stack at the line, and you're screwed.
Yep.
You know, you need to be able to do both. And the Wild have been a little bit more. You know, they've been getting their zone entries. The thing is I hope that it carries over, because eventually people are going to go, okay, well, we know how they're entering the zone. We'll make them dump it in, just like they do every year. And then the Wild lose a little bit of steam come December once they're figured out.
The December slump. Are we going to see that this year with Boudreaux?
I mean, I hope not, but, you know, who knows?
That was kind of Yo's MO, was that December slump and then the struggle to the finish.
Well, I don't think, you know, even in Lemaire's good years, he was not subject to that same thing, though. You know, teams get figured out by mid-season, you know, especially when you're facing your division opponents this much. You're going to be exposed at some point, and they're going to figure out what works and what doesn't work.
And there is videotape on your team.
Right. And all you got to do is you got to hope that what has been exposed for you is less than what's been exposed for them, and that you've figured out their systems better than they figured out your systems. Because that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day, is that who knows whose system better.
Get in their lanes, intercept their passes.
Right.
Create the turnovers. And really, that in the end, that's what it comes down to, is turning the puck over, which I think that the Wild did a lot of in that St. Louis game.
Oh, yeah. Well, even in the last game, I mean, St. Louis was particularly bad, but there's a lot of passes in the skates, you know, a lot of just mishandled passes, and just it was just sloppy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know if I were Boudreaux, I'd be very disappointed with the way they were handling that.
I think he was fairly disappointed in how they played after that first game, and not going after what he was trying to instill in their head.
Yeah. I think he was pretty disappointed even after the first period of the second game as well. I heard he had a little something to say.
About that second game.
Yeah.
So the Wild are now 12-1-1-1 in their home openers. That goes back to the tie days.
Right.
That was pre the 04?
Pre-lockout. Pre-law season.
Was that 04 or was that
04-05?
04-05? Yeah. That was not the later of the lockouts.
Right.
Like the actual...
The loss season.
The half a season.
Yeah.
Pre-locks before the Prius.
So they ended up beating Winnipeg 4-3, which that score does not really justify.
It's not indicative of how lopsided the game was for the most part.
Because it could have very well been 5-2.
Right. Yeah, we had a late non-call on Byfuglien hooking Parise as Parise tried to get out of the zone on an empty net, and then Wild quickly score an empty net goal that's call back with Parise's offsides, but he was helped by Byfuglien hooking him back, you know. So there's not much Parise could have done. It was a sly move by Byfuglien. I'll give him that. And it's not like the Wild didn't get away with something like that earlier in the game. So
actually, and Jive just replied to this going back because of our 10-second delay. Megan Canny also brought up a good point that a lot of these guys are coming off of the World Cup, which is also another totally different system.
Yeah, it's true. It is true.
I mean, we're going to have this issue all year, I think, with this 10-second delay thing.
But in the end, it's all hockey.
It is all hockey.
Right.
That's right.
So with the home opener, you know,
today, Junior.
It seems to be just a trend, you know, it's season opener trend, but you guys have any predictions now, seeing that the team seemed to gel a little bit better? The Wild's home season record predictions or overall season record predictions?
Well, I'm not going to wager anything on the record.
On two games?
Not on two games. But the second game, they looked great. I mean, passes were sharp. They were moving. They looked really good. And I feel good if we get 80 more games of what we saw in game two. If we get 80 more games of what we saw in game one, well, put a bullet in my head then.
Well, what if we get exactly what we've had so far, which would be put us at about 500?
Oh, that's going to be a disappointment.
Yeah. 500 would be a disappointment?
I think
500 would be a disappointment.
So you're expecting a Stanley Cup this year then?
We're in a tough division with some very tough teams. 500 is not going to get you into a playoff spot.
Well, but we are 500 against the division. So if you can go 500 against our division and then still win out against the at-large matchups,
yeah,
you're in pretty good shape then. That's a big if, though.
Yeah.
Really.
So some highlights of this game. Let's go with Stewie first. Chris Stewart gets a Gordie Howe hat trick in his first Wild game since he left, which isn't really
first home game.
So it's not really his first game in a Wild sweater, first home game in a Wild sweater, but his first home game in a Wild sweater this season.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Yes. So for those of you that don't know, a Gordie Howe hat trick is a goal, an assist, and a fighting major. And he happened to pull all three of those off. You know, that's great. I like it. You don't get to see too many of those.
No, you don't.
These days.
Was it in a major? Was it a major or a misconduct? I thought.
No, it was a fighting major.
Okay. The misconduct was separate.
That was separate.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
He had plenty of penalty minutes the other night.
Yeah, racking them up.
I think was it 17? Was it 17 penalty minutes?
I think it was. Well, you figure 5 for fighting. You got a 10-minute game misconduct and probably a 2-minute minor in there,
right.
So that'd be 17. I mean, that's kind of the standard.
Right.
If you're going to get one, you usually get decked with all three.
Right.
Hockey is so violent and dangerous.
So he comes back. Both him and Dumba get a goal that game.
Yeah.
You know, and you know they were good buds before, and I'm guessing they have remained good buds.
Actually, what you really got to see was Stewart and Zucker. I don't know if you remember that there was that gif that was from 2 seasons ago now, where they're on the bench and Stewart's talking to Zucker, and you know,
oh yeah, where they're kind of
like just, they're like talking about like
play just, fighting each other.
They were talking about like just like giving it to him. Is that that's kind of the way I take it.
Yeah.
And after I think Stewart's goal, they both were just like, you know, it wasn't the same, but it was there was a similar sort of level of camaraderie amongst those two.
You know, I think his locker room presence is going to be huge. Like that personality, that's not something a coach can give. That's not something anybody can give other than that player.
Well, it's the he's the prototypical energy line guy, right?
Yeah.
And obviously we've got some sort of I don't know how we adopted this just you know love of Stewart for the podcast, but I think unanimously we love Stewart.
I know how it happened. One night we were drinking, we got "I love you, man" drunk. And we were like,
"Welcome to Costco."
We love, I love you, Stewart.
Well, and obviously, Boudreaux loves Stewart as well.
Yeah.
You know, so
either that or he likes to check out gifts, and that's how he sets his lineups.
He'd be like, I'm eating some Haagen-Dazs, watching these gifts.
Yeah. Man, that
let's
guy,
sign that guy.
That guy can sure storm him out of the locker room.
Right.
Coming in hot.
So, I mean, you know, him and Dumba both got goals this game. I mean, are we going to actually see a little bit of jump in Dumba's step having Stewart back, maybe? Because, I mean, when Stewart was back last time, or when Stewart first came around, we definitely saw a little bit of a jump in Dumba's game.
I think we're going to see more. I hope we're going to see more of Zucker, actually.
That would be great, too.
Because he didn't have really a great year last year. And he's if anyone we need to rebound aside from Pominville, it's Zucker.
I mean, look, if we look at last year's numbers, nobody had a great season last year.
I would say Suter had numbers wise, Suter had a good year. He played like a billion minutes, but you know, he had a good year.
Our goalies didn't look too horrible numbers wise, but as far as skaters go, everybody was kinda.
Coyle had a good season. I mean, you know, I think there was some good seasons. There was nothing like mind blowing about last year, but there was some good seasons out there.
Decent.
So Stewart gets his Gordie Howe. Stahl gets his first goal as a Wild player. So is this a Stahl we should be expecting to see now with this top line? Are these numbers that we should start seeing from our top line? At least 2 to 3 goals a game from them? Whether it's Stahl, Parisi, or Coyle?
2 to 3 might be, you know, a little on the high side, but you know, one or two goals a game from your top line, I don't think is, you know, pushing things too far. But I do think that, you know, if we can get those guys, you know, well gelled together, we already saw, you know, kind of in the game against Winnipeg there, you know, with Parisi, you know, kind of, you know, knowing that Staal was coming down on the far side there and playing off the defenseman and keeping so the puck could get through to Staal so he could.
It was a pretty goal by Staal.
Yeah. So, but you know, that pass doesn't make it from Coyle's stick to Staal's stick without Parisi having been in there, and stuff like that is the stuff that you like to see from a line, you know, where they're coming together and gelling, and they know where each other are at. So,
well, and I agree that we want to see that, but the thing is, the Wild, we don't have a great number one line, mm-hmm. so really we need to see scoring from all four lines and regularly, otherwise. You know, people joke with that we don't have a top line. We've got like 2 seconds and 2/3. And if that's the case, and I think we can win with that, but we got to be scoring on all those lines to make that work.
I agree. So, and with that said, shall we get into some of the recent movements maybe and talk about those lines?
Let's do it.
All right. So, right after our podcast last week.
Like, seriously, like minutes afterwards. Yeah.
Some news hot off the press came in a week ago. But anyways, the Wild picked up Teemu Pulkkinen. They picked him up off of waivers from the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Who, you know, they played their cards and tried to you know, send them through and pass them down, but you know,
Wild weren't having any of that.
No, the Wild swept up on that opportunity, and it looks like he's going to get an opportunity here. So the Wild now officially have their newest member of the Finnish Wild Mafia.
Yeah,
right.
And it was great after he was picked up. He was very vocal about being worried about being sent down to Grand Rapids,
yeah,
and being stuck there like it was the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because last year he had a great year up until he got hurt.
Yeah.
And that basically derailed the season.
Right.
You know.
But yeah, his last couple of AHL seasons, so he's, you know, been a 30-plus goal scorer. Like you say, even with, you know, injury last year, he still managed, you know, more than 30 goals. So
He's got the pedigree,
yeah,
to think that something's there.
Definitely.
Hopefully it's just a matter of needing the time for that to blossom.
Yeah.
But
so, and you were just, you know, you were talking about when we were discussing Staal's goal that we need, you know, input from all of the lines, you know. Is this one of the answers to that, you know, adding some scoring on some of those, you know, lower lines at this point?
I think you have to. I mean, we saw that last year, too, where all of a sudden our third and fourth lines were producing more than our top two lines because the top two lines are figured out by every team we play. But
they're figured out or they're matched up against the other teams, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you get some of these grinder lines that actually have some shooting ability or some skating ability, and yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. It definitely will not hurt a team to have that type of shooter on their team. I mean, you know, he's not a big guy, so he's not going to be a grinder.
No, and while we've seen that line combination a few times now, the Granlund, Koivu, Pulkkinen combo, while they haven't produced anything yet, they've had a lot of good looks where, yeah, I'm like, something's going to happen here at some point.
Yeah.
Because they're, I don't know if it's some sort of Finnish neural network that is allowing them to communicate telepathically,
Humanga's big.
But I thought when they were together, especially on the power play in particular,
yeah.
While no goals were scored, I felt it was promising.
Okay.
I'm hoping to light up that Finnish Wild Mafia hashtag if those guys are all on a power play together and they're actually producing.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So throw that's...
Brodin in there as a Swede just to change things up a little bit.
And then also, I don't know, the Wild, they sent Riley down. To Iowa to make some room.
Yeah, Riley going down to Iowa. He had a really bad first game. I know me and Kenny were watching the game. And
we were commenting on it during the game. And if you're watching our three in the box feed, I mean, basically, I think Aaron, actually, I think you were the one that typed it going, yep, send Riley down and let's bring Follin in. And
sure,
exactly what happened.
And sure enough. And Follin had a pretty good game in game two. Riley looked terrible, absolutely awful. So with Riley going down, the heir apparent is Joel Eriksson Ek taking his spot, provided, as Megan has pointed out, the paperwork immigration thing gets figured out.
That has been sorted.
So
from the last I saw that's all been taken care of.
So Eriksson Ek is going to hopefully be joining the Wild at some point. There's really two questions here. A, whose spot does he take? I mean, who out of the forwards we've got right now, who are you benching in favor of EE? And will we even see more than 9 games out of him? Because once he gets 9 games, he's eaten up a season of eligibility. Would it make more sense for the Wild to get a flavor and then, you know, if things work out, great. If not, well, have fun in Des Moines for the rest of the year.
Well, Eriksson Ek is right wing.
I thought he was a center.
Was he a center?
Yeah.
The Wild need another.
If he's a center, the most logical would be to replace Dalpy.
Right. And Dalpy's looked all right, I think, in general. I haven't been, like, blown away.
Hall has been pretty quiet this year, but I think Hall still has... It still needs a few, maybe not needs a few games, but he just hasn't exploded yet like what we're used to see him in. And he does go in spurts. You know, he was kind of a little bit under, well, in Yo's doghouse last year, but as soon as he was out, he exploded.
And it's still early in the year. I mean, we're 2 games in. Everybody can't have a goal already.
So, right.
Yeah.
But
what I think this is all coming down to here, so we've determined here how Bruce Boudreau sets up his lineup. He eats Haagen-Dazs. He watches GIFs. And on his other screen, he's watching the three in the box feed. And he's like, Follin, that's it.
Yes.
Yes.
So okay, so then we have to say, we have to guide Bruce, help him out. Who on, one by one, who are you scratching in place of Eriksson Ek? Or no one. That's an option as well. EE can sit in the press box if you want.
He can. My call at this point.
That does not count against games, correct?
That does not count against games.
He's got to actually suit up and touch the ice.
If I'm suiting him to play, my scratch would be Dalpy.
I would have to agree with that, but I mean, Dalpy has not shown any signs of weakness so far as a fourth line center. Right. So exactly. I would be more apt to let him get some more time down in Iowa, so he's not getting cold. He's actually getting some play time. Injuries are going to happen, and it's guaranteed. Yeah. Somebody's going to get injured. We're going to have our centers move up, and I would rather have him healthy and ready to go. So I would say put him down in Iowa for right now. We don't have to worry about that 9-game contract or the 9-game stipulation, and let him just play down there and continue developing until we actually need a centerman. We know we have a backup.
Well, and here's what I'm going to say. You know, you normally look at the guys who aren't skating much, because those obvious, if they're not skating a whole lot, you figure they're already on the short list with the head coach. That basically limits it down to Dalpy, Zucker, Pulkkinen. I don't think Zucker is going to be scratched at this point in the season.
Not today.
Pulkkinen, I don't see that happening either.
Nope.
Dalpy's got an assist, and he's looked all right. First game wasn't so great. Second game was much better. I don't think any three of those are getting scratched after two games. They haven't played so poorly that deserves a scratch.
They weren't Riley level poor.
No, they were not Riley level poor. So I think if Bruce is smart, he goes the same path that Yo did with Dumba and let him sit in the press box for a few games at the beginning of the year, let him get the high view, and be with the coaches. You know, because that's one nice thing is
this is true.
You can be with the coaches and you can kind of see how the game is playing out.
Yeah.
Because we don't necessarily need him yet.
You can go up there and learn the system, right?
So we... Jive, you said replace Dalpy?
I said if I was going to skate.
So if we're going to, we got to replace Dalpy, we got to sit in the press box, and we got to send down to Iowa.
For my case, what I'm saying is, if I have to skate him, who my scratch would be.
If you don't have to, what is your, are you skating him?
No, at this point, I'm leaving my lines as is.
Are you sending him down or you put him in the press box? At this point, I would
still probably keep him in the press box.
Okay. Right. So we got two press box, we got one Iowa.
Right.
And, you know, another week or so into the season and things are looking solid with my teams, that's when I would look to, push things, send somebody down or something like that. But,
the younger guys, they can handle, a little up and down.
Back and forth.
It's
the old guys, man. They can't get up and down anymore.
Well, even
more so up.
If I'm
they got pills for that now.
If I'm Bruce, I'm worried about putting Zucker or Halla and scratching them at this point.
Absolutely,
one or two games in,
and you don't want to. Yeah, that could ruin a guy's psyche for the entire season.
And you need those kind of guys to produce.
Yes.
So
we're not going there already. No. So all right. So that's about it for, call ups, send downs, waiver wire pickups. That was actually a pretty decent pickup by the Wild there.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm surprised at the Wild actually
made a move like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's going to be one of those moves where we look back and go, the Wild stole one there.
Yeah. It's
doesn't happen often.
It's low risk, high reward, really.
Right.
What it is.
Because he's pretty small contract as far as numbers go.
I mean, the big thing on him is that he's allegedly a slow skater and he's not a big guy. Boudreau made the joke that they're all blonde. Yeah.
Oh, because they're all finished?
Right.
I mean, his AHL numbers have been great. I mean, as far as scoring goes and his shot, I mean, hopefully he can bring that to the NHL level. And, we get a solid shooter.
That's the only spot he has left to prove it, right?
Yeah.
So, here we go. We'll give him that opportunity. The Wild, with their upcoming week, we've got L.A. tomorrow night, huh?
Yeah.
They're coming into town here. L.A. is 0-2 at this point in the season.
They're a little hurt right now.
They're hurting a little bit, yeah. They got Gabrick is sitting out, and
Gabrick's injured. Say it ain't so.
Lower body? What?
Yeah, huh? Well,
I mean, it's a broken foot this time, though, right?
Hockey is so violent and dangerous.
It's not a groin.
No, it's not. It's the foot.
Right.
Right. And then you got somebody with a groin injury. You got Quick. They're number one goaltender. And
I bet you he's not moving so quick with a groin injury.
Probably not.
Did Gabrick rub off on him?
Whoa, dude, that's kind of creepy.
Maybe.
That, if that you like, do think about that, that sounds really sick, Kimmy.
Rub off his brain injury. Yeah, sorry.
Are they sword fighting? I don't know.
Wow.
Are they roommates?
I got my eye on the three of
you guys.
You put one thing.
Good call,
Jive. I was kind of waiting for crickets on that one.
But anyway, so yeah. What do you guys think? You know, do you think the LA is going to come in here and be pushed over by the Wild?
No.
No? You think they're going to put up a fight, huh?
I thought you said, will they push over the Wild? No, I think the Wild are going to kind of stomp on them.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that Zatkoff, who is Quick's backup, is of the same caliber.
No, so, LA's goalie depth is not much.
No, that's going to hurt them. However, they're an NHL team. Yeah. There is no such thing.
Either night.
Right.
Right. But hopefully, I don't know. I'm hoping that we've got off on the right foot at home here.
Yeah, if that same Game 2 team shows up.
Yeah.
LA is going to be destroyed.
LA doesn't have a chance.
We're rocking the new goal song, Let's Go Crazy, right? You know? I mean.
Just don't play it. I don't want to get banned from YouTube.
I don't have it right on me right now. Dun, 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 dun. Do I get in trouble for even humming it?
Probably not.
Probably. Yeah. So, yeah. So, the Wild, yep, they got a couple game homestand. And then they're going to head out east for a road trip out east. I suppose this is probably a good time to mention, too, you know, we're kind of stressed out here already at the beginning of the season. So
this is a high-stress job.
Yes, it is. We need to take a bye week, huh? Nurse our injuries.
Well, we're learning from the Vikings.
Yeah, yeah.
We're at the top of our game. Let's take a week off.
Right. Actually, we're gonna go scout
the new expansion team.
Right.
Maybe play some pinball if we can get into the Pinball Hall of Fame.
There we go.
So you think it's gonna be two of you guys? Yeah. You don't know that I already got plane tickets booked.
Oh, hey.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, nah, I'm just kidding.
Yep. But
I might thumb it down there though and see if I can meet up with you guys if I don't get accosted on the road.
Good
By
luck.
Accosted, I mean raped.
Yeah.
So what else is on deck?
But yeah, well, so we're heading out east. We won't be getting back together to chat here until after this East Coast road trip. What are you guys thinking about the East Coast? Are those teams, you think they're looking pretty tough for us at this point?
You kind of skipped over the one game that I'm looking forward to at home, and that's the Toronto game, because I'm really interested to see how Austin Matthews plays against the Wild.
I think the big thing with Toronto is their goaltending situation is still kind of a mess, so yeah. I'm not, Austin Matthews starts off his career with, what, 4 goals?
Yeah.
And they still lose the game. So it's like they've got problems. I mean, they are Toronto. It'll be interesting to see. I'm not convinced that he's going to turn it into something.
The Wild have not gotten more than 4 goals in a game this season. So that could be actually a breaker.
They got 2 goals the first game, 4 goals the second game. So if they continue on at that pace, then they're going to get 6 goals.
Actually, that'd be 8 because they got the Kings in between.
That'd be 8.
Oh, yeah, 8.
We recognize that pattern.
Okay.
Just wait till that Devils game on the road and it's 10 goals.
Right. Or it could be that it's doubling every time. And so...
So that means the last game of the season, we got 164 goals in 60 minutes of play.
Never doubling. It's going to be like... 7 million goals.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll be 8 goals versus the Kings, 16 goals versus the Maple Leafs, 32 versus the Devils.
Exponential.
So, what's 2 to the 82nd power?
Where's my calculator?
Where's the nerds?
Oh, you want that
one? Nerds.
I'm actually
Are you looking at it right now?
I'm doing it. Yeah, yeah.
You got it.
How many goals is that? And how many do you have to score per second?
No, we're talking nanoseconds now.
Holy crap. Nerd. That's a lot of...
That's a lot of goals.
Let's see here. It's so many numbers. It's like four to the... I'm eyeballing here. Probably four to the 20th. So... 4 times 10 to the 20th, scientific notation.
Yeah.
Just keep hitting that nerd's butt.
Humongous beat.
Yes, it is.
4 times 10 to the 24th.
Jeez. Wow. That's still too complicated to figure out.
That's a lot of goals. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
No.
Okay, so divide that by 60, and then divide that by 60 again.
Well, and you also have to think, they're going to have to ride that.
I don't think it's going to make a material difference. But
they're going to have to ride the bell curve, so by the end of the season, they'd actually be on the downside. So if there's a bell curve.
So how many hat tricks per player is that per minute?
Okay, enough.
We get to the last game.
Enough. All right. So what are you guys thinking about the East Coast trip? I don't know. We got like the Islanders, the Bruins in out there.
Islanders are playing pretty solid right now. Boston had some lineup changes going on.
Well, Backes in there, right?
Backes is in there. Lucic is out.
Yeah.
We got the Sabres. Sabres have been looking okay for a rebuild team. Yeah. I mean,
And that's without Eichel now.
And that's without Eichel.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Devils, Islanders, Bruins, Sabres. I'm actually looking forward to that series because, it's you've got two teams that have been fairly solid in the past couple of years, and you got two teams that have kind of been rebuilding in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a tough challenge for the Wild. I mean, if they can make it through it, even with like a 3-1 on that, I think it's going to set a good precedence for how the Wild.
I think
3-1
would be awesome, but realistically, I'm hopeful for
a
split. 2-2. Yeah, split.
Yeah,
it
yeah. I look at those four teams, and I'm like, the only one where I'm like, we should be able to beat them handily is the Bruins.
That would be the only, Islanders are just killing it right now.
Islanders are good, Sabres are good, and Devils are better than you would think.
Yes.
So it's going to be a tough, for our first East Coast road trip, that's a tough group to match up against.
Yeah, the only thing that would make it worse is if you tossed in, like, Pittsburgh and the Rangers.
Right.
So.
And then we are back on the 30th. We're going to have it on a Sunday night.
Little pre-Halloween bash. We don't want to, deprive the kiddies of their trick-or-treating. We want to make sure we can get the treats out the door.
Right, and we want to make sure everyone who would be watching can give out treats as well.
Yes.
Or tricks, if that's your thing, you know.
Well, whatever.
I ain't judging.
I will still never forget the best trick from when I was
trick-or-treating.
Trixie. But wait, I'll tell you after next week.
Your wife does not listen to this, does she?
Hopefully not. This will probably be like the 1 week she does this.
Here, I'll shoot her a message right now.
Right. As a kid, I was running through. I was over trick or treating with my cousin, and we're running from house to house, and we were over in her neighborhood. They had some, decent-sized homes there, two-story homes in South Minneapolis there. And I come running up to this house, and the house has this, I don't know what they call the little front porch. It's not an actual porch, but it's kind of like the rounded off, and then it's got like the pillars that go up. And it's got like a little roof overhang basically there.
It's like a porch.
Kind of like a porch, but it's just, it's not big like a porch. It's, smaller. Just like the step up basically is covered.
So like what's that? Your
like an awning or?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So I'm running up to this house, I got a pillowcase full of candy. And I'm running, all of a sudden, foosh, drops right in front of me. This big old, dummy thing. Just boom. I turned around and ran so fast. Oh, man. I nearly, I probably did crap my pants.
anybody dressing up as clowns this year?
Only if it's creepy.
Well, don't get your mask at Target because they pulled them all.
Really? Target pulled them all?
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah, wasn't like law enforcement like warning, don't wear clown outfits?
Because you might get shot.
So right? what if I just got creepy clown makeup on?
Right.
Well, it's like, how am I going to give out candy to kids from my van?
That's it.
Well, you still got your trench coat, don't you?
Let's take it to the street.
The hole in it.
Let's take it to the streets. Let's take it to the streets. Clown lives matter.
Okay. We're totally going
I'm
off.
I'm pale and I got like bright red hair.
we're going off the rails here, but a mutual friend. Man. was at a bunch of industrial shows, industrial music shows, and he had a bunch of selfies with a bunch of other bands, and someone had a great shirt, and it's totally like the total goth industrial shirt. It said, "No Lives Matter," and I was like, that's pretty awesome, actually.
I'm trying to figure out what mutual friend that was.
That'd be Matt.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Caustic Matt. Manuel Lewis. Hand job, so
small hands, big heart.
All right. With that, I think we're about ready for Twitter talk, don't you think?
Yeah, we got a few questions.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah.
Jive.
Aaron.
Jive.
Aaron.
Jive.
Aaron.
Okay.
Da da da.
I would like to say that was technical difficulties, but it obviously wasn't.
It was technically a difficulty.
We could maybe take out the technical part, just difficulty.
It was just difficult.
My wife will agree if she listens.
Oh, she is now.
Right.
Hold on, wait for her to start sending us messages.
Yeah, she can't send me a message.
Oh, I'm sure she can.
Nope.
Yep.
No phone. Oh, Kenny's going to be the Pony Express here. Anyway, Twitter talk. We got a few questions. We'll blow through these real quick. Friend of the show, Derek Felska, at State of Hooky News, asks, he's got a few questions here. So
he does. We got one from Ty Sands also.
Yes, we got one from Ty. First question from Derek. At this point in the season, which is your favorite wild line and your favorite defensive pairing?
All right. I'll start with this one. You know, wild line, I am liking that top line is going to be tough to say no to. Just because they are gritty. They have gotten a few points between them. Defensive pairing, I don't know, that's tough. Because, I mean, I've seen breakdowns all around. Obviously, getting Riley out of there, it has helped that a little bit. You know, give me Dumba and Brodin. That third line, I'm kind of digging on.
I'm gonna have to agree with you. I like anybody playing with Dumba basically as my defense pairing.
Dumba Riley pairing on game one wasn't so
hot.
Yeah,
because Foline ended up going up to the second pair with.
Pizza Man.
Scandi, yes.
So, that, and I'm, wow, I can't even be different. I've got to agree. I'm excited about our new number one line. I'm excited to see what that brings this season. I hope that, you know, it produces a couple of 30 goal scorers at least this season.
Okay, and as for me, for forwards, I'm going to go a little different. I really like the Chris Stewart, Hall, Nino line.
Good call.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. I've been surprised with them. I mean, because you don't expect... I mean, you expect some of that, but it's an energy line is really what it is. And
right.
In the truest sense, you got some speed in there. You got some grit in there. You got some scoring ability, and I love that.
Talking about El Nino, did you guys see his suit he came in the other day?
No.
Oh, you got, I think it was tweeted. I should have resent that one out. But I mean, it was pretty awesome. He was in like this plaid suit,
Don
like,
Cherry-esque,
pretty much.
All right.
And then as far as the defensive pairings, I'm going to go with, I'm going to agree with you guys. I mean,
that third pairing, I mean,
right
now, it's tough to argue.
Everything else is boring. That's why it's just so. So our next question comes in from, you guessed it, Mr. Derek Felska at State of Hockey News. He always supplies us with great questions and great content here. How long do you guys think that Mike Riley will be staying down in Iowa this season?
Aaron, you want to start this one off? You want me to?
Well, I don't think he's going to be down there a ton, but you want him skating all the time.
Yes.
You look at who the Wild have right now. I mean, who out of those six, Follin is about the only one you would even think about scratching, and he's been playing solidly. So
Yeah. You're
not going to scratch the guy who's playing solidly for a guy who had a – I mean, granted, it was one game, but he's young, and he had a very bad game.
But he had a decent preseason. Now, I know a preseason doesn't really mean
also,
much of
you,
a
– You didn't have a couple of those guys there for preseason also, so you needed that sixth spot covered.
Yeah, but I think that he's definitely made his way in. I definitely think that we'll see him more than, past seasons. He may be more of that filler when somebody goes out hurt. That's who gets called up. But I can agree with, pushing him back down to Iowa and let him play, let him keep his legs about him and keep working on his game.
I mean, all you can hope is that it doesn't discourage him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and see, okay, so that was my thought with Eriksson Ek right now, is to, let him keep playing.
Sure.
But I totally agree. I mean, barring injury or a trade, I don't see Riley coming up anytime soon with the 6D that we have up right now.
Yeah, I mean, you'd much rather have Prosser sitting in the box. Prosser is a known quantity, you know what he's going to do. He's not going to do much more above that outside the oddball games.
Right.
You got what you got.
You know what it is.
Right.
But Prosser, you can't send down to Iowa.
Well, and you want Riley to develop,
So let him play his game. Let him continue growing.
All right.
Our last question from Mr. Felska. Best Wild jersey of all time. And he actually, he gave us some options on here. So I think we should maybe choose, or, well, I suppose go off the beaten path too. But original white and green, the green alternate, the red and green, or the stadium series is what he has on there.
Well, personally for myself, I always liked the one with the tie-up laces. It's...
The red one or the
green one?
The red one.
Yeah.
With the
circle, shield.
Shield and logo that, on there, yeah.
Which is currently their home sweater.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was originally in a little bit different design because they changed it a touch, but that was their first alternate.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have one of those, and I like that. I mean, because it has more of an old school feel to it, and I got it when it was the alternate sweater. And I think the following year...
Oh, you hipster.
Yeah, I got it before I was cool.
nice beard, you hippie hipster.
But yes, no, that is a good looking sweater. Yeah,
you need to tie your hair back into a man bun.
Hey. Aaron.
Green sweater all the way. Green alternate.
With a script.
With the
script. That would be my second favorite there. I can agree with
that. I like the fact that they're downplaying the red, because I think the red and green combination is
very
horrible.
Christmassy.
I'm
looking at your hat right now, and all I can see is like...
But it's black at least.
Yeah, but looking at the front, it's definitely red and green.
Yeah. I mean, there was that ongoing joke, the Christmas jerseys, those first season jerseys.
Well, it doesn't help when they got pine trees in the logo.
Right. You might as well put twinkling lights or glitter, on the jerseys themselves.
Here it comes.
I mean, I gotta refamiliarize myself with the Stadium Series. So, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's too close to what the original green was, minus the piping going down the arms.
Right.
Which I was never a big fan of. I did not care for their original sweaters at all. They're home or they're away. I thought they were just ugly.
They were pretty bad.
Actually, I
know I'm going to be called out as being a heretic or something, but I'm not even a huge fan of their logo, but people go... I mean, routinely, when there are like contests or polls for best logo in the NHL, the Wild are almost always in like the top five.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. It just...
I think there's too much going on with it.
I just think it feels like a certain era. There's logos go through the different eras,
right?
And it feels like a late '90s logo to me.
Which it essentially was.
Right, and so it kind of taints it for me, but, you know.
I think I'm going to agree with you, though. Best jersey. I'm going to go with the green alternates that we have now. The old school script, college style. And, you know, honestly, if you ask me the Gophers what my favorite sweater is of theirs, I would probably say their gold home that has the script on it as well. I like that style.
I always like the maroon with the letters going diagonally.
That one's not bad, because that's another old school throwback.
And right.
Isn't the Rangers that have something similar to that?
I'm pretty sure.
A few teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, something about just keeping it simple. It's simple, classy, classic.
Right.
That I really like about it. So,
all right. Last question from Ty Sands 42. That's at Ty Sands 42. Do you foresee any roster moves via trade before January?
I'm going to kind of go with our answer how we've been with the Lions right now. I mean, I think if everybody's working, I don't foresee anybody moving right now. Me personally. I mean,
only move I see right now is if we can move Kemper. If someone's...
You know what? Actually, that's a very valid point. If because Kemper is somebody that we could afford to maybe trade or move.
If we can get something for him.
And get something solid for him.
Yep.
But yeah, good point on that.
But what other holes are you going to try to fill in
right
at this point? You know, I think that they've done a good job this off season of bringing some players in, filling in some spots. We've got, you know, lots of guys that have returned, and last year we were a playoff team,
right?
Even though, you know, we went through all the turmoil that we did and a coaching change, you know, I think that the Wild are, you know, not far off from being that team, and you know. I don't know that there's too much that you want to mess with, you know, at this point.
Well, I think probably the biggest weakness is that we're relying a lot on young guys.
Yeah.
And a lot of young guys that haven't proven themselves.
But you've got a lot of young guys, though, too, that, like, it's time now. This
well,
they're coming in. This should, you know,
you
be the start of their prime. And
basically and, said it perfectly right there. We've had the young guys that are now... 3 or 4 years into their career, that should be getting
or
to the
5 years
to their prime.
Well, actually, okay, maybe I'll switch that. Maybe we look at the guys like Halla, like Zucker, you know, guys that haven't really like capitalized on their talent yet. That other teams might find some value. We're going to be running into problems come the expansion draft next year.
Yep.
Somebody's
going, and if the Wild can move one of these guys that they might lose anyway via the expansion draft for a rental that is of superior quality, why wouldn't you do that?
And at that point, he's a rental, so you don't have a big contract over your head.
Right. You're not worried about that at that point.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, boys.
All right. So there you have it. Another podcast out of the box.
Show, huh?
That's a show.
Out of the box. Put it back in the box.
Yeah. Put it back in your pants.
Or is that? That's what she said.
That's what she said.
So anyway, Kenny, where can people find you?
Primarily on Twitter and Instagram at Nostracanius. I think that's where most of my social media izing is happening these days. So, and actually, you could even probably skip on Instagram because IFTTT just has me doing both at the same time. So yeah, just find me on Twitter.
But well, if you're an Instagram only person, you can...
yeah, if you're Instagram only, you can still see me on Instagram at Nostracanius, and you're getting the same, kind of the same stuff.
All right.
See who I'm working with and what venues and what I'm up to.
What if we don't care?
Then don't look.
Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
You can find me. I'm at about.me/heyjive. I'll have my links to my Twitter and whatnot. So, yeah.
Aaron?
Well, as for myself, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter if you're in Twitter's thing. At Three in the Box. We're also on Instagram. Same thing.
Three in the Box. Facebook, you can search for Three in the Box and we'll pop up.
Yep.
Google Plus.
Yep. Google Plus.
Our homepage, 3intheBox.com. Did you say that already?
Nope. But that you can find us there. Get our podcast there. You can find us in your favorite podcast player.
YouTube now?
Now we're on YouTube.
We
are everywhere.
We are everywhere.
We're coming to a neighborhood near you.
if it's by St. Paul or Minneapolis.